tonight in this lesson three, we're going to talk about the fullness of the blessing. The fullness of the blessing. The Bible emphasizes a very essential message to all born-again believers. What is that message? That message that is emphasized is that there are untold spiritual blessings that happen as a direct result of people being filled with the Holy Spirit. A direct result of that. I want you to get that in the depth of your soul tonight. Without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, a believer or even a church body of believers can never be as effective as God desires. You just can't, because we can only go so far in our own ability or our own gifting, right? Or our own knowledge or understanding. But the Holy Spirit enables us to be effective. Someone who is not filled with the Holy Spirit can never reach their full potential because they lack the empowerment that enables them to do so. The Holy Spirit enables us to do what we ordinarily could not do. So that's why this is such a vital subject. How many spiritual blessings are waiting for those who receive the Holy Spirit? I want to start off with this incredible verse in Ephesians chapter 1, and it's verse 3, and he says, "May blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual, given by the Holy Spirit, blessing in the heavenly realm." Now, I want you to just think about that verse for just a moment and what it says. This verse says that he has blessed us. It's through Christ, the Messiah. We are blessed through Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. So I want to focus on that concept of what he talks about, a spiritual blessing. Holy Spirit, spiritual blessing are given by, in the parentheses of the Amplified Bible, he says, with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit blessing in the heavenly realm. So think about what that is really saying and what's available to us in this verse of scripture right here. So that's why I want to zero in on this incredible phrase that we have, every spiritual blessing that has been given to us. Every spiritual blessing that has been given to us. It's there, it's available, but we have to seize it. So let's expound on what spiritual blessing is. So the spiritual blessings that we read here are a direct result of the Holy Spirit's work inside of us. The Holy Spirit's objective is to produce the abundant life of Jesus Christ in every single believer. That's his objective. That's what he wants to do. He wants to produce the abundant life in every one of us. So spiritual blessings come into the natural realm, but they come from the heavenly realm. Are y'all with me on that? Now think of that. So these incredible spiritual blessings, they come into the natural realm, but they come from the spirit realm. And we're going to look at a couple of verses, I think, that help us to kind of see that point in just a minute. Comes from the spirit realm into the natural realm. Think of Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the natural realm, but he already existed in the spiritual realm, right? Jesus, referred to by theologians, as the pre-existent Christ. So let's visit this, John chapter 1. In the beginning, before all time. So that means before the earth was even created. In the beginning, before all time, was the word Christ. There it is. and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. So right there you see it. Jesus came into the natural realm or the natural world, but He was already in the spirit world or the heavenly realm. And He came to earth, right? So all of our spiritual blessings are rooted in Christ Himself. So everything that He is imparted to believers. Everything that we need is already in place because Jesus provided it. Hallelujah. So every blessing available to believers is already existing in heaven, waiting to manifest on earth. Now think about that. It's already existing in heaven. So consider what Jesus says here in Matthew 16. He said, I give you, He's talking to His followers, right? He's talking to Peter and the disciples. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It's already existing in the heavenly realm. Ephesians 1:3, what does it say? All spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm, right? So Jesus says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It's already in the spirit realm. It just needs to come into the natural realm. What an incredible truth that we find in the Word of God. So the same principle, the same dynamic is applied to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the fullness of the blessing is. Spiritual blessings means, Ephesians 1:3 said, the spiritual blessings mean that we have been given kingdom keys. So how is that kind of authority available to believers? Because He is talking about authority. When He says, I give you the keys. If somebody pulls up in a brand new, what's some cars y'all like? Cadillac, Ferrari. Oh boy, y'all really stepping out there. All right, we might have to call the football players for those. They drive those. If somebody drove up in a Cadillac or a Ferrari or top of the line or whatever car you like and gave you the keys and gave you the title, would you take possession? All right, so think of what Jesus is offering. He offers you the keys, the title, the authority, but we have to take possession of it all. Amen? See, that's the spiritual blessings. They're already in the heavenly realm. So how is that kind of authority available to believers? Well, listen to what we read here, right here in Acts 1:8. Jesus said, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the entire earth. We're talking about the spiritual blessing that has already been secured for you and I. See, a lot of people get hung up and they get focused on speaking in tongues and that thing, that sort of thing. But we must never lose sight. Tongues is not the objective. Empowerment is the objective. Authority is the objective. The tongues is what enables us to communicate with God in a whole different realm, through a whole different radar, if you will. You know, because you got to tune your radar to heaven. You know, we all have a GPS in our spirit, and we have to connect it with God. Amen. And when we connect it with God, supernatural things begin to happen. So the empowerment is the objective. He wants to empower us. So if I am empowered, that means I can do through the power of the Holy Spirit what I ordinarily could never do on my own. Never in 1,000 years. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, when the Holy Spirit is in me, when He fills me, then I am able to do what I ordinarily could not do. Let's illustrate it. All right, so this phrase that we find in the scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, we find references of where the Holy Spirit comes upon people. And the promise of God is that for believers, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's what he says. So let's illustrate it. All right, so that phrase, and I love the definition of this phrase. I looked it up, and this phrase, come upon you, it comes from one single Greek word that means to arrive, to overtake, to come in, and to attack. Think of that. A Holy Spirit invasion. That's what he's talking about. That's when he says he will come upon you, he will overtake you, he will come in, he will attack. There will be an invasion. This is defining an infilling of the Holy Spirit, or what the Bible says is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This phrase is used in the Old Testament as the Spirit of God came upon prophets, priests, and kings, empowering them for a purpose. It's always with a purpose. The result was the Spirit's power working through men and women, enabling them to accomplish a specific task. So there's always a purpose. There's always an objective. What did Jesus say the purpose was? Right here in Acts 1:8, he said that you will have power, ability, efficiency, and might, and you will be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the very ends of the earth. The empowerment to stand as a witness for Christ. The empowerment to stand as a vessel. The empowerment to stand representing Jesus Christ, telling people that they can be saved, bringing them into the saving faith of Jesus Christ. It is to fulfill the Great Commission. Every born-again believer is filled with the Holy Spirit to take the message of the gospel into their realm, their family, their workplace, their school, their business. Wherever they go, they are to take the power of the Holy Spirit with them and the message of the gospel. So he would come upon them, enabling them to accomplish a specific task. In the New Testament, he comes upon believers, but he does it from an inward dwelling. Because remember, Jesus said, I'm leaving, but the Holy Spirit's going to be in you, right? So there's a little difference in New Testament theology from Old Testament theology. Because in the Old Testament, he came upon them, but he wasn't in them. In the New Testament, he comes upon us still, but he comes upon us based upon an inward dynamic, an inward principle. And there is a big difference there. So he came upon them. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. I love this story. I always love to read the story of David in the Old Testament. He is such a powerful illustration of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know that David had a lot of problems. He had areas of weakness, just like you and I. Everybody has an area of weakness. We have to identify it, right? And know what our area of weakness is. And then we fortify that area through the power of God. All right, so we read this story that the prophet of God, the prophet was sent to anoint David to be king of Israel. So the prophet Samuel goes to anoint him. And the Bible says that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. Now, what they would do in Old Testament times, you know, we have little vials of anointing oil. We'll dab a little bit on people's foreheads and pray over them, right? Because it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the sick, anoint them with oil, is what the book of James says. But in the Old Testament, they brought a flask, and they would pour it over the head of the one that was going to be anointed. And that's what happened right here. He poured the oil on David. And this is what is so significant about this story. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon. See, that's what we're talking about in this point. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So from that moment, everything was different because the Spirit of God was moving. He was working. Now, David went through a lot of ups and downs, highs and lows, But the Spirit of God came upon David from that day forward. He was anointed to be the next king of Israel. So the Spirit comes upon you and I to enable us to fulfill a kingdom purpose. Think of this. Jesus, at his baptism, experienced the Holy Spirit coming upon him, propelling him in his mission. Let's visit it. Matthew chapter 3 says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately out of the water, and the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Boy, could you imagine witnessing that? I mean, John the Baptist, man, he had a front row seat right there. What an incredible illustration. But here again, what happens? The Spirit of God came upon him. He descended like a dove. He came upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was anointed. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. He was anointed for a kingdom purpose. And what did he go out and do? Everywhere he went preaching the gospel. And what does it say? It was the gospel of the kingdom. He went preaching the gospel of the kingdom. My friends, you and I, as believers, we have the Spirit available to us, spiritual blessing. We're talking, this lesson is entitled, The Fullness of the Blessing Coming Upon Us, the Power of the Holy Spirit. So this next point is a question. This next point is in the form of a question. Have you received since you believed? So we go to Acts chapter 19. And we read this. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? The original King James Version says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now, that is telling us that there is more. That's what we're talking about, right? That's what the theme of this Bible study is. There is more. Now, biblical history tells us that this was 20 years after the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. So think of that. 20 years after the day of Pentecost, and Paul, in his missionary journeys, comes to Ephesus. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now, it's quite evident that Paul must have noticed there was something lacking in their experience. Maybe they were lacking joy, right? Maybe they were lacking, you know, enthusiasm. Maybe they seemed a little stoic. Maybe they were a little cold. One thing is for sure, they were missing the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I think it was last week I was saying somebody had asked me, you know, about our church, and is your church a Holy Spirit church? And my answer was, what other kind is there? You know, if it's a church, what other kind is there? But unfortunately, there are some churches that are like cemeteries, no life. I mean, there are in the United States of America, there are some dead churches. I mean, they are dead. They might go through the motions of religion, but they are dead. Man, I can't tell you how many. We have so many testimonies coming from people that we had over 200 people packed in this sanctuary on Sunday, this past Sunday. And I can't tell you how many people are contacting us and telling us, man, when we walk in that place, we feel the life, we feel the Holy Spirit, we feel the presence of God. I said, well, yeah, that's what we are accomplishing. That's, you know, if we don't do that, then man, we're failing. Amen. That's what it's all about. We want people to encounter God. We want them to encounter the Holy Spirit. We want them to be touched of God. Hallelujah. I was talking to a family. They live in Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge. They have family members here on the West Bank. And they said, we can't find a church like this in Baton Rouge. And I was like, man, I know a lot of good churches in Baton Rouge. But this, I'm just saying what they're saying, you know. It's like, no, man. He said, no. And you know, I mean, what a testimony, you know, that they feel something. He said, when we walk in this place, said the love that is abounding in this house is incredible. So that's hats off to all of you guys, that people feel that. They feel that warmth. They feel that embrace. You know, they don't feel judged. They feel welcome. They feel accepted. And why do they feel that way? Because of the blessing that is in us. Come on, somebody, right? Because of the fullness of the blessing that is in us. So Paul saw something that was lacking in their lives. And one thing is for sure, they were missing the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul presented the full gospel to them, and then he prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what he prayed. Then the spiritual blessing in heavenly places was released upon these believers. And the Bible said they spoke in other tongues and they prophesied. Acts 19:6, when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. Hallelujah. That's incredible. Have you received since you believed? So notice again the phrase, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Remember, everything we need is already in place because of the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Hallelujah. It's already in place. Everything we need is already there. The spiritual blessings are in heavenly places. Hallelujah. I want to see everybody filled with the Holy Ghost, walking in power, walking in authority. Hallelujah. Walking in the strength of God, being filled with joy, filled with life, bubbling over. See, that's what the filling of the Holy Spirit does. So that brings me to what I want to talk about next, which is the second blessing. So it is clear in the book of Acts that there are subsequent blessings of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just kind of address something here. There's a lot of mainstream denominational churches that are good churches. They preach the gospel. They're strong doctrinally, but they teach that when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, they get everything. Uh-uh. I don't read that in the Bible. So maybe you've been under that influence and you need to be corrected. Because here's the correction right here. You don't get all there is at the moment of salvation. Because there is a second blessing and there are subsequent blessings that happen. It is clear in the book of Acts that there are subsequent blessings of the Holy Spirit. The first blessing is in the declaration of faith that takes place when someone becomes spiritually reborn. It's the point of origin in our faith. We talked about it last week, right? It's the point of origin in our faith in the work of Jesus Christ. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit enters our spirit and we become born again believers. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes upon us and dwells within us. But there is still more after that. That's why we're talking about this subject, that there is more. You know, Jesus said it this way in John 14. He said, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive or welcome or take to its heart because it does not see him or know him or recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Now, before someone has a spiritual rebirth, the Holy Spirit does not dwell within them. He's not in them. That's why the world is lost. That's why people curse, they sin, they commit adultery and don't think anything about it. You know, they'll do whatever because they are bound by their sin nature. They don't have the Holy Spirit. That's why the world is lost. That's why the Bible says that people who have not had a spiritual rebirth are dead in trespasses and sins. I was there at one time. You were there at one time. Dead in trespasses and sins. You didn't have the Holy Spirit. They are spiritually dead for this simple reason, because the Holy Spirit is not inside of them. So when someone declares faith in Christ and they repent of sin, they enter, or they step into, the first blessing. Hallelujah. They step into it. But the second blessing is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of empowerment. This second blessing is accompanied by speaking in tongues, spiritual gifts such as healing, prophecy, miracles, and more. Why? Because there is more. Hallelujah. Listen to how Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, not as the individual desires, but as he wills. Very important note right there. As he wills. Now, again, in denominational circles and in much of the evangelical movement today, they teach that this stuff stopped with the apostolic age. But they can't give you a date. And if it was 20 years past the day of Pentecost, when God's still pouring out the Spirit, and then we read also in the book of Acts when he said that the promise of the Father, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said it's unto you, and it's unto your children, and it's unto your children's children. So where did it stop? I don't find the date in the Bible. If they could give me a date in the Bible, then they might be able to convince me. But I haven't found that date, so I'm going to stick with the whole Bible. Hallelujah. So there is a realm of the Holy Spirit, my friend, that brings us into the more that God has for us. At salvation, we taste and see that the Lord is good, right? The first blessing brings us into the operations of the Holy Spirit, but then there is the second blessing. So that's why Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Because there is more of the Holy Spirit. All right, so I love this in Psalms 34, 8. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see. To taste, it means to test or to sample. To see means to understand or perceive. So the phrase taste and see, you know what it means? It means come and experience for yourselves. That's what it means. You ever walk through Sam's and they're sampling for sales? Always try to go there for lunch. Sampling for sales. Taste and see. They are giving you a sample. They want you to test it. They want you to try it. So when we read this phrase, taste and see, that's what it's an invitation to experience for yourselves. It's an invitation to experience God yourselves. Find out for yourselves how good God is. That is what brings us to the blessing of salvation. So through Jesus, we are able to see that the Lord is good, because we enter into the incredible blessings of salvation. So then again, Ephesians 1:3, may blessing, praise, and eulogy be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Hallelujah. Every blessing, every gift, the empowerment, the favor, the anointing. That's why Paul said, have you received? When someone steps into the power of the Holy Ghost, everything changes. I remember when I got born again. I was only 18 when I got born again. That was a miracle right there. And I remember being born again, and I remember struggling in a lot of areas of my life and not having the boldness that I needed. And then I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Got filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, I started praying like I never prayed before. I started seeking God like I never sought God before, because there was a power now that had kicked in that I did not have at the initial point of salvation. But boy, it was kicked in now. Hallelujah. And when it's kicked in, when it's moving, when it's working, I'm telling you, everything changes. So we step at salvation, we step into the blessing of Christ and all that he is and all that he offers. But then there is more than that. And here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. You see, think of this. The Holy Spirit brings us into the revelations of truth, the encounters of God. He brings us deeper and deeper and deeper. You can only go so deep just studying Scripture. And that's why the Bible says, Paul said it this way. He says, my speech and my preaching was not in man's wisdom. He says, enticing words of man's wisdom, right? But it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hallelujah. Paul stepped into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you go and read it in the book of Acts, the Bible says he had that supernatural encounter on the road to Damascus, and God struck him down, right? He had that supernatural encounter. I love the story recorded in the book of Acts, because the Bible says when God struck him and laid him out, he was blind, couldn't see. And those who were traveling with him, I love what the Scripture says. We heard a voice, but we saw no man. That's supernatural. Amen? That's supernatural. So then Paul was instructed to go to the house of a believer who was going to lay hands on him, that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, all of this in the book of Acts. I mean, the book of Acts, it's called the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We don't negate the book of Acts. It's still applicable. It's still relevant. It's still for us today. Hallelujah. So we got to step into it. Amen. And the book of Acts, and here's the last point. The book of Acts introduces us and I believe invites us into the full blessing of Pentecost. And we're not talking about a religion there. When we say Pentecost, we're talking about an encounter. We're talking about an experience. See, the blessing of Pentecost is the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The blessing of Pentecost is stepping into the fullness of blessing that is available to all believers. I pass churches sometimes and it might be a certain denomination, and I know they're stuck in their denomination. And I'll just extend my hands and I'll say, Lord, fill them with your Spirit. God, bring life to that church. Fill them with your Spirit. Bring them into the blessing. Bring them into the life. I remember when the charismatic movement hit in the 70s. And God began to baptize people in the Holy Spirit in Baptist churches, Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches, Catholic churches. They had what was called the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Vatican didn't like it, but God was moving. See, God doesn't, he's not hindered by denominational labels. God's going to go where people are hungry. I'll share a little quick story with you. We had a minister. He was from South Africa. Stephanie, you'll remember Henny Honka. Henny was a prophet. And this guy could read people's mail like nothing. I even had people come to me, "Pastor, did you talk to Henny about me?" No. Why would I talk to Henny about you? Because he was able, but he would flow in the Holy Spirit, and he had this incredible gift of God, and he was able to just kind of minister to people and deal with areas of their lives and areas that the evangelist didn't know anything about. But Henny was an incredible minister of the gospel. So Henny got invited to go speak, and this was down in the Bayou land, kind of toward Houma area and all that area. He got invited to speak at a Catholic church. South African event. I don't know all the details behind it, of how that came about, but the pastor, the priest that was there, he was very open to the Holy Spirit. I think he realized that there was more. So somehow, some way, he got wind of Henny, invited him to come and speak to the church. So Henny came, Catholic church now, and ministers there, and then has an altar call, and the nuns came running to Jesus, came running to the altar. They said it was pandemonium because the Spirit of God was moving. Now, the archdiocese, this is a true story, the archdiocese caught wind of it, and they moved the priest to another parish. But the Spirit of God, I mean, God is not restricted by anything. When he finds somebody's heart that is open and receptive, he's going to touch them. He's going to move upon them. See, that's the blessing of Pentecost. It's available to everybody. The blessing of Pentecost is experiencing the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is stepping into the second blessing. It is a life that is empowered for Jesus Christ. This experience of the Holy Spirit will turn you into another person. See, that's the more dynamic in action. You will be completely changed. Completely. And I'm going to leave you with this. All right, so we read about David, right? He was anointed to be the next king of Israel. But who was the first king of Israel? Saul, right? First king of Israel was Saul. Saul was anointed to be the first king of Israel. Now, Saul is a sad story because Saul did not keep going strong for God. He made bad choices, bad decisions. How many of you know we can make a wrong choice? We can get off course. The good news is we can correct course. The bad news is sometimes a lot of people choose not to correct course. So Saul is an interesting character in the scripture, but his story is tragic because he got off course. But Saul was anointed to be the king of Israel. All right, so then when Saul is anointed to be the first king of Israel, it was Saul, then David, then Solomon, then Solomon's sons, and so on and so forth, were anointed to be king of Israel. Then, of course, there was a split where it became the southern kingdom of Israel and the northern kingdom of Israel. And then you have what is recorded in the Bible, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. All of those books give us the details of all of these kings that ruled Israel. Many of them were anointed by God and flowed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of them turned away, worshiped false gods, and bad leadership, tragic things happen. And so all of that is detailed in the scripture. So Saul was the first man to be anointed king. So when the prophet pours the horn of oil on him or the flask of oil on Saul and the anointing, he was anointed, set apart. Same thing, Spirit of God comes upon him. Look at, it's right here in 1 Samuel 10:6. Then the Spirit of the Lord, he said, will come upon you, and you will prophesy, and you will be turned into another man. Think of that. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, your personality changes. Hallelujah. Your whole personality will change. That, my friend, is the blessing of Pentecost.